Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about Tesla stock and the S&P 500 inclusion. We have the official final scenario now announced by the S&P, so we'll talk a bit about that, and then we also have news on the China-made Model Y, FSD beta, and a couple other stories to go through. All right, so kind of a wild day for the stock today, opening above 600 at $602 per share, hitting about $608 per share on the day, but then ending up down 3%, 3.1% to be precise, to $567.60. That compared to the Nasdaq down slightly, less than 0.1%. The wildness has continued in the after-hour session, so we'll talk about that here in a second. But first, we'll take a quick look at volume. So about 58.5 million shares traded hands today. That is about 90% of the annual average, and about 4 million shares above the average that we have seen since the S&P 500 announcement. That's at about 54 million shares per day if we exclude the half day on Friday. So looking at after hours, around an hour and 15 minutes after the market closed, we saw a huge spike up about 4 or 5%, really making up for the entire drop during the day. As I'm recording, that's really happening between $585 per share, $595 per share. We'll see where it goes. But this was on the news that I said to be on the lookout for last week, the official announcement from the S&P 500 about how Tesla will be included in the index, whether that would be in tranches, split up between the December 14th date and the December 21st date, or all at once. Now, with the official release, the S&P has announced that it, quote, has determined it will add Tesla to the S&P 500 at its full float-adjusted market capitalization weight, effective prior to the open of trading, on Monday, December 21st, 2020, end quote. They also mention the consultation process and say, quote, during the consultation, which closed on November 20th, 2020, S&P Dow Jones Indices received a variety of feedback, including implementation suggestions beyond those proposed in the consultation. In its decision, S&P Dow Jones Indices considered the wide range of responses it received, as well as, among other factors, the expected liquidity of Tesla and the market's ability to accommodate significant trading volumes on this date. After the market close on Friday, December 11th, pro forma files will be distributed and a press release will be published announcing which company Tesla will replace in the S&P 500, end quote. So there's our finality. It'll be all in one shot, I believe. Prior to open of trading on Monday, December 21st, means it will be added at the closing price on Friday, December 18th. I can't remember exactly how the extended hours trading influences that, so we'll have to take a look at that. And then the only other news here is that we'll find out which company Tesla is taking the place of on December 11th. Usually that's going to be a smaller market cap company, so not something I'm going to be terribly interested in trying to figure out personally, so we'll just see on that. But getting back to Tesla stock price and the after hours move, now, it might be a little bit surprising that this caused a spike in trading in the after hours, but I think what this does is it removes some uncertainty. You did have the S&P committee openly looking for feedback on how Tesla was going to be included, so no matter how unlikely, there was always, you know, maybe a small percentage chance that something would significantly change. And over this weekend, we saw an article in the Wall Street Journal. It got quite a bit of attention. Basically, the Wall Street Journal had spoken with different asset managers and investors, and they learned that, of course, Tesla's S&P inclusion had been the topic of a lot of discussion, with many of these groups holding quote-unquote virtual summits to discuss. And based on Wall Street Journal's conversations with these people, they said that they appeared to prefer the sort of two-tranche split, but that also, quote, investors who had shared their opinion with S&P have offered another suggestion that appears to have earned broad support, breaking the trades up over two different quarters, according to people familiar with the discussions, end quote. So I think what we may have seen today is a little bit of tempered enthusiasm, partially because people may be, you know, speculating a little bit more that this could be split over a longer period of time, which is actually an idea that we had discussed as a possibility back during our first S&P speculation episodes, and I do still think that would have been a pretty good idea. The S&P committee was seeking feedback on very specific scenarios, basically the weighting of how the tranches should be split between the 14th and the 21st, but we are really dealing with an unprecedented situation here, so if the S&P committee was receiving enough type of that feedback, who's to say they wouldn't adjust to a more lengthy sort of inclusion process? So part of what we may have seen today, and I would rarely attribute the entire movement of a stock to sort of one factor, unless it's something like a delivery report or earnings, but we may have seen some pressure from that idea today, and then a release of some of that pressure with the official announcement from the S&P after hours. So I think the Wall Street Journal article accentuated the movement, but I still think we would have seen a bit of a bump in the after hours just because it does give us this sense of finality about how this inclusion process is going to go, and reduced uncertainty is generally a good thing for a stock price. All right, moving on, then we have some exciting news here on the China-made Model Y. Late last night, Reuters reported that Tesla has obtained permission to start selling the Model Y in China. So that permission has been approved and published by China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. This is a normal step in the process, and it's also been confirmed, unsurprisingly, that the Model Y will qualify as a new energy vehicle for the vehicle purchase tax exemption. This news doesn't mean that Tesla is actually selling the Model Y quite yet, but if we look back at the process for the Model 3, it looks like they obtained this permission for the Model 3 around December 6th of 2019, and then the first deliveries to employees were just over 3 weeks later on December 30th or December 29th, depending on your time zone. The first deliveries to non-employees then followed about a week later on January 7th. So if a similar timeline applies to the Model Y, we could end up seeing first deliveries of the Shanghai-made Model Y this quarter, maybe as early as December 23rd through the end of the year. A couple of the YouTubers over there watching the progress at Gigafactory Shanghai have seen Model Y vehicles on the site, running around the test track, etc. So it does seem like trial production at least is already happening. So I think with all this news, we can be pretty confident that Tesla will try to start mass production sometime in December. And I think it would be a great milestone for them to be able to deliver some of those vehicles this year. But whether that happens in December or sometime in Q1 is obviously pretty inconsequential. The important thing is Tesla is making very rapid progress here and is set up for a strong year for Model Y out of Shanghai in 2021. If we look at what the Model 3 has been able to accomplish this year out of Shanghai in its first year of production, so far through three quarters, we've had about 90,000 vehicles produced. When we add in Q4, maybe we get all the way up above 150,000. And right now, from a calendar perspective, the Model Y seems to be following a very similar cadence. So I don't see why we can't see 150,000 Model Y out of Shanghai next year, maybe even a bit more, as this will be Tesla's second time around ramping up a product in China. All right, next up today, we have some news on the FSD beta, even though we had just talked a few days ago about the sort of widely anticipated FSD beta 5. There is already another release, so this is firmware version 2020.44.15.4. Version 5 had been .3. And of course, as it was just released, it is still very early for reactions and thorough testing. But Tesla owner Silicon Valley has shared some thoughts on Twitter, saying, quote, "Main thoughts on FSD Beta 6, huge improvements as it is more assertive and smoother on my drives. I've had 5 drives without any disengagements, and turns are becoming smoother each time. Thanks Elon Musk and Tesla for making this happen," end quote. He also shared a really nice shot of the user interface just displaying an intersection, and everything looks so crisp and so clean, even though this is still the beta presentation. Obviously, with just a still image like this, there's no way to tell if there's been any improvement on this, but I just thought it was a really nice shot, somewhat iconic in a way. I suppose it's probably because there are no other cars in the shot, so you don't have those bounding boxes popping up, but still, looks nice. In some other exciting news here, it looks like Tesla Tequila has started to be delivered to some orderers. User Tesla-Tesla sharing their delivery on Reddit today, as well as a handful of others. It looks like primarily deliveries have so far been in Florida, but it does sound like some of these deliveries were a bit of a surprise, as they did not receive before delivery any sort of email letting them know that it had been shipped, although it does sound like some of those emails did arrive after the delivery. So maybe just with these first orders, some unique circumstances. Either way, I guess be on the lookout for a delivery or for an email. I'm guessing we'll be hearing more about this over the course of the week. Nice to see this happen so quickly for the Tesla Tequila. Obviously, there's a pretty long wait on delivery for the short shorts, many people even still waiting on those. I think that's a sizing thing, by the way. Seems like mediums shipped. I'm not sure if any others did. But hopefully we just see a nice wave of deliveries here for the Tequila. Next up here is a bit of an interesting situation that is unfolding with Volkswagen, specifically in regards to CEO Herbert Diess. As we had talked about back in June, there had been some reports of infighting going on within Volkswagen in terms of the long-term direction of the company, Diess's leadership. And at that time, Diess was the CEO for both Volkswagen Group, overseeing all brands, and then also the CEO for Volkswagen as a brand. He had that latter title removed, replaced as CEO of the individual Volkswagen brand, but retaining his title as VW Group CEO. Well, now over the last couple of days, we've started to see some interesting things pop up here again in regards to his position with the company. I believe this is important to follow because Diess has been a huge proponent of electric vehicles and has been pushing Volkswagen pretty much as hard as he can in that direction. I don't necessarily agree with some of the strategic and tactical decisions they've made, but he's definitely pushing that way, which is more than can be said for a lot of other auto executives. And I think, unsurprisingly, that does seem to be a source of tension, especially with how complimentary Diess consistently is on Tesla. So this morning, from Reuters, we had an exclusive report titled, quote, VW's Executive Committee to convene Tuesday to discuss CEO's future, end quote. Kind of an ominous headline there, but to some extent, this is at Diess's request. He has demanded a contract extension, which is currently set to expire in 2023. The timing of this meeting is particularly interesting because over the weekend, Diess published a very candid article, it's pretty long, about 2,000 words, describing how Volkswagen should handle the transformation that they're facing currently. 20% of those words fall into a section with a subtitle of, quote, Mission T to catch up with Tesla, end quote. The section talks about how there are now new competitors with what they call IT business-like capabilities, such as Tesla, that are pacing the change and setting new standards, and saying that as a result, they have to tailor their strategy to keep up with these new competitors. So in April of this year, they held a workshop to try and decide how to best do that. Diess writes, quote, 31 senior executives from Volkswagen, Audi, and Porsche were involved in, quote-unquote, Mission T, as it was dubbed. The event revolved around how we can catch up with Tesla, a company focused exclusively on the future, without a traditional car business. Its Silicon Valley-style ecosystem is influenced by software capabilities, focus on technology, and risk culture. The workshop was held over 3 days, under special constraints with masks and social distancing due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The opening question was, quote, what do we have to achieve in the next 6 months to catch up with Tesla in terms of technology by 2024, end quote. I mean, this whole paragraph says it all, right? They're having this 3-day-long workshop with 31 senior executives, and their starting point is, what do we need to do now to catch up with Tesla in 4 years? If the paragraph doesn't say it all, just look at the picture here. It's a bunch of businessmen sitting in suits in front of a literal wall of blank whiteboards. Imagine how enraged Elon Musk would be to walk into a meeting like that at Tesla. Anyway, as far as an answer to that opening question, Diess writes, quote, the answers we found were to grow software capabilities at an even faster rate and pool software and hardware resources at Audi under the leadership of Marcus Duismann and the Artemis Project, a unit outside the existing corporate structures, end quote. So VW is in a really tough spot. I hope they have more to address this than just having the separate business unit. I do think that by itself is a really good idea depending on how it's executed, but it really just starts to scratch the surface, doesn't address anything coming out of Tesla's battery day, for example. And again, I think the issue starts with that opening question. If you're trying to catch Tesla by 2024, you're aiming at a moving target. I mean, even since they talked about this in April, the target is now way different after battery day. I just don't see much of a path to success if that is the premise that you're operating under. I guess it is better than just not talking about it at all. One other thing I want to point out here from this article by Diess, he talks a lot about Volkswagen's culture, how a lot of that needs to change. I would definitely agree with that. He says, quote, Volkswagen's corporate culture is another crucial aspect for us in the transformation process. When I started in Wolfsburg, I was determined to change the Volkswagen system. What I mean by that is to break down antiquated structures and make the company more agile and modern. With the support of many equally motivated people around me, I succeeded in doing so in several areas, but not in others. Foremost amongst them at our corporate headquarters in Wolfsburg. I have brought about a lot of change and achieved positive outcomes throughout my career with my personality, at times confrontational, by highlighting and addressing the problems and action needed directly. Some of these changes have been vital to the companies in question, as was the case at Volkswagen. Of course, I have also reassessed my leadership style during my 5 years at Volkswagen, and have now adapted it for Wolfsburg. Experienced executives familiar with the Wolfsburg system have more responsibility now. They know how things work in Wolfsburg, and their style is less confrontational and more empathetic. The excellent results speak for themselves, end quote. So a couple points that I would highlight there. Diess admits that the most challenging cultural change has been at their corporate headquarters, and that he is now adapting, his word, to be less confrontational and yield to those with a little bit more experience in that corporate culture. That sounds pretty bad to me. Honestly, this whole paragraph sounds pretty bad to me. He says when he started there, he was determined to change the Volkswagen system and that doing that is a crucial aspect for us in the transformation process. And then he wraps it up by sort of saying that the experienced executives that have helped shape and permeate that culture are now being given more responsibility. That just seems like an admission of failure. That seems to be in heavy conflict with the opening statement of, hey, we need to transform this culture. So I don't know, it seems like kind of a mess over there for VW. It's almost like you can feel the presence of that infighting just reading something as simple as this. So we'll see what comes of it, and we'll definitely keep a close eye out for any news on whatever happens during this meeting tomorrow for VW and Deese. All right, the last quick thing here for today, and then we'll wrap it up, is a little bit of news on SpaceX, just something to keep an eye out for later this week. SpaceX is hoping to do a couple of tests on the latest iteration of Starship, likely first a static fire test, so no movement off the ground, and then later a short hop, which would be a test flight to 15 kilometers and a landing. Elon over the weekend said that static fire could occur on Monday, and then a flight no earlier than Wednesday. It looks like that'll be a bit delayed. Looks like road closures that had been scheduled to allow for those tests had been canceled through Tuesday, so it seems like the earliest opportunity now for a static fire might be on Wednesday, and the hop probably thereafter. I'm trying to keep a better eye on things for SpaceX, particularly those that relate to Starlink or Starship. Not everything, of course, just the bigger developments. So we'll try to follow up with that later this week, but good luck to SpaceX on those tests. That'll do it for today, though. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 1st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.